Did you know that the world did not end at 6 p.m. yesterday? How many of you, you knew that? And I'm really surprised that people would continue to donate to that ministry, because they have said that the Lord was coming back in 94, in 88, 89, and now 2011. So whenever anyone tells you that the Lord's coming this day, they're wrong. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? Nobody knows, so don't try to predict when the Lord's coming back. I did find it interesting that our friends in Iceland have got another volcano as well that's erupting, and all the rivers that are overflowing, and like normally every spring there's those kind of things, but there definitely is an increase in natural things that are taking place in our world. And one of the most significant prophets in America that we've had speak here has felt that there is going to be major earthquake in California, and he's actually on record as asking people to move away from California because of that. And so obviously the California people are not so sure about that, and just so can I just encourage you that when the Lord's speaking to you about different things, to be in prayer about those. How many of you get you get dreams every so often that are like natural disasters, world wars, that kind of stuff? Hands up. See, there's a whole bunch of us. I get bombers coming over our city, is what I see, and fighter jets and all this kind of stuff from time to time. And I'm not anticipating that we're being invaded by any particular country or anything like that, and yet it perhaps is just a prophetic thing. Steve Long, you need to pray today. Pray for protection over our city. Pray for the people. Those kind of things. And if you get specific objects, like cities that you see or buildings that you know that's a particular place, be in prayer for those kind of things. Be in prayer when the Lord brings a friend to mind, someone maybe from your cell group or someone that you know, a family member, as when the Lord brings those people to attention, he's asking you to pray. That's one of the ways he cues you, is all of a sudden you have, your mind has a thought that you weren't thinking about. And a lot of times that's God. And so we're actually going to be talking about those kind of things just a little bit. I want to let you know, I've been hearing from a few people that they're disappointed that Sandra and I are leaving in September. We are not leaving in September. What we've done, if you weren't here a couple months ago, what we've done is Sandra and I have three different hats that we wear. We wear the senior pastor hat for all of the campuses, and we have 10 campuses right now. We're getting ready for Hamilton, and we're getting ready for Kitchener, and we're hoping in a couple weeks to announce who those pastors are going to be. It's really exciting. That's one of our hats, is oversee all the conferences. The campuses. One of our hats is to expand Catch the Fire in Canada. And so like last weekend, I was in our Montreal church and just had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. By the way, Sandra's at our Brampton campus today. But we're looking at starting a church in Vancouver, and so we're in very early planning things for Vancouver. Anyone from Vancouver? If you're from Vancouver, can you just send me an email this week and just say, I'm from Vancouver, and because I've got a few little questions for you just to help do some research. So if you're from Vancouver, send me an email, slong@catchthefire.com. And the other hat that Sandra and I have is we're the pastors of this campus, and we have Sam and Linda Duncan help us and Mary Audrey help us. And we're recognizing that we're not able to do some of the other things well because we just got too much going on. And we felt from the Lord that we should have another couple focus on this campus to give you better pastoral care. And as we're praying about it, John and Patricia Bootsma, who used to be here 7 years ago and helping to pastor this campus and are now in Stratford, Ontario, unbeknownst to us, the Lord was telling them their time was up and it was time to go home. And so when we talk to them, they're going, well, we've been waiting. It's like, oh. So in September, John and Patricia Bootsma are going to be returning from the Stratford Church in Jubilee to come and be the airport campuses, not Brampton, not Mississauga campus, just to help here. And they're wonderful people. How many of you remember the Bootsmas? Hands up. Are they good people? John is just a passionate pastor. Like, he just loves to care for people. Patricia is an extreme prophetic voice, and she has been recognized in Canada. She's on the National Prophetic Council of Canada. She travels the world So she's going to be here as well, stirring all sorts of things up and adding a little bit of an edge that we maybe have been missing in the prophetic. And one of the things that she's going to be adding to us is she has a passion for 24/7 prayer and worship. And just like in Kansas City, there's the 24/7. Well, I don't think we're necessarily going to be having 24/7, but we do want to have more worship, more prayer that's going on in the evenings, in the afternoons, so that people can just come, find a place to be in the presence of God. And Patricia's going to be championing that. So we're looking forward to that. And the other new person that we've hired is a new worship pastor that's going to be coming in September. And his name is Jonathan Clark. He's a graduate from our School of Ministry. He was a small group leader. He actually came back last summer to help at our three-week school. Jonathan is an amazing, amazing young man. He's about 23, 24 years of age. And when Chris Dupre, who's been our worship pastor, our worship coach, suggested him, like everybody that knows him said, he's the guy. And it was just like, we hadn't thought about him, but when Chris suggested his name, it was like, oh my goodness. And you will really enjoy Jonathan. He's got a lot of passion. He is a godly man. Like I do not know too many 23-year-olds that are as intentional about holiness, personal holiness, pushing into God, reading the scriptures, prayer. He's just a good, good guy. And one of the reasons I know that is that my son Christopher, who lives in Bath, England, was a roommate with Jonathan in Bath, and because that's where Jonathan lives right now, is in England. And so my son was a roommate and was telling me, this guy spends time praying, and when other people don't see it, he's pushing into God. So we're going to have a great, great worship pastor coming in September as well. So Sandra and I are not leaving, okay? Go like this. Some of you are going, oh, rats. Oh, too bad. So here's the deal right now for Sandra and I. Like, Sandra's at our Brampton campus today. Sandra and I try to be in this campus 2 Sundays a month. Not necessarily the same two. Like last week I was in Montreal, the week before that I was at our Midtown campus, I think it was. And so once a month I go to one of the campuses. Once a month Sandra goes to one of the campuses, different Sundays. And once a month we're away, Sandra and I are away, either vacation, we're on ministry trips like Montreal, missions trips, that kind of stuff. So for the most part, you're going to see our faces still here 3 out of 4 Sundays. So it's not like we're gone. We'll still be at the door shaking hands. You can still give us cash. You can still do all the... No, sorry. Anyways. You don't have to give us cash. Right. Did I forget anything? I think that's good. We are going to talk this morning... Just pulled my cord out, so I got to reload here. We're going to talk this morning about being led by the Holy Spirit. And if you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 16. And here we are. Do you have something coming up on your screen? Yes? No? Let me just get this straight. Is there something we don't have it? It flickered, but not there. Just give me a second. Okay, I've just lost my stuff too. Holy Spirit, come, be with me. I can preach this without the notes. Here we are. Still don't have it. What do I need to do? The cord is in. Let's just move it over here. I'll take it out, put it back in. That's a little bit better connection. Is that it? Yes? Okay, there we go. Here we go. Yeah, you can see all my emails coming in. Okay, so today we're going to talk about being led by the Holy Spirit. And God wants to communicate with every single one of us, and God wants to be your manager. Did you know that rich people have managers? Did you know that Kate Middleton, when she got married, all of a sudden had about 15 managers for her life? This poor lady is not going to be planning a day in her life from here on in. And if you're rich and you got other people, they look after all your schedule. They tell you what to say, when to say it, all those kind of different things. Well, the good news is the Holy Spirit wants to be your manager. And the Holy Spirit has far better information than another human being does. And so God is all about getting you to the right place at the right time to meet the right people, to have the right circumstances come your way, all of those kind of things. God is about protecting us so that we're not in the wrong place at the wrong time and meeting with the wrong people in the wrong places. So God loves to be involved in those kind of aspects of our life. And so what we want to talk about today is, real quick, how does God speak to us? And if you remember in the Bible, there's just so many different ways that God talks to us. And it's just like God is going out of his way to communicate to us. He talks to us while we're asleep, while we're awake, through circumstances, through the Bible. It's just amazing the different ways that he does that. And in Acts chapter 16, there's a very interesting little passage. It talks about the Apostle Paul on one of his missionary journeys. And it says this, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Look at this, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word of God in Asia. That's a very interesting little passage. It doesn't tell us what happened, but it does say that Paul wanted to go to another province and the Holy Spirit kept him from being there. We do not know if it's he couldn't get a visa. We don't know if the ferry wasn't working. We don't know if the airport was closed because of volcanic ash from Iceland. We don't know. But he can't get there. You understand? Does he know why he can't get there? Well, it would appear not, because Luke hasn't recorded this as he's writing this story. And it goes on to say that when they came to another border, so now they've remember, they do not have airplanes. You got two choices, walk or express donkey. And the donkeys aren't moving very fast either, so we're weeks and months for him to get from one border to the other border. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, would not allow them. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come on over to us and help us. So twice, and we don't know if it's weeks, months, the Holy Spirit stops Paul from going to one place. Why does he do that? Because he's got a better place for him to go. And in one night, he's having a dream, another one of the ways that God talks to us. And in the dream, he sees this guy. And he basically, they conclude that the Holy Spirit's in it and they want to go. If you remember, in the New Testament, and quite often we talk about this around Christmas, there is a man named Simeon. And he's a devout man, isn't he? The Bible says that he's righteous and devout, and the Holy Spirit was with him. Yes? Holy Spirit with you? So if the Holy Spirit's with you, can the Holy Spirit communicate to you? Yes. So look how the Holy Spirit helps him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. So he's had a dream, he's had a vision, he's had a thought, he's had a prophetic word. Something has come to him where he knows this is something that's real. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And he's moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know what that means, but he just has this impression, I need to go here. And so I don't know where he is in the city at that time in Jerusalem, but all of a sudden he has this urging, go to the temple. And he's moved by the Holy Spirit. He gets to the temple, and when the parents of Jesus brought in the baby Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms, praising God and saying, and remember, he gave him that prophetic word. And right on the heels of him doing that, a godly lady named Anna, who was in her 80s, comes up and does the very same thing. Two people the Holy Spirit had at the right place at the right time to meet the right person. Yes? Have you ever found yourself and it's like, oh my goodness, God must be here. Most Mondays, I'm working. Occasionally Mondays, I take off. It all depends on how busy the weekend has been. And I can remember one Monday, I told Sandra, how about we go to the Dixie Value Mall? Now, for Sandra, that was a shock. First of all, I don't really like malls. I like malls as long as there's Starbucks or Second Cup or something like that. And I like the nicer stores that Sandra's starting to go in, where they have a nice little chair for the men to sit there. And just wait for the ladies to, you know, try on all their clothes and things like that. Those kind of stores I actually like because I can get my iPhone out and I can catch up on emails and do work and all that kind of stuff. But the Dixie Value Mall is not one of the higher class malls if you've been there. It's sort of a discount mall. And it was like, I just said to her, how about we go to the Dixie Value Mall, which is QEW and Dixie in Mississauga. So we're there, we get there, and for whatever reason, I was stubborn that day. Sorry, Mary Audrey's just laughing. That's not right, Mary Audrey. I'm stubborn many days. So usually parking spots come for Sandra and I. Like, it's amazing. We'll pray going into a mall, Holy Spirit, just when we go down the aisle, have someone please back out so we can get that spot. And it's uncanny how that happens. Just a little prayer. And this time, there's no parking spots by the door. And I'm going up and down and up and down and up and down for probably like 2 minutes. And Sandra's starting to get a little annoyed. We could have been in by now. And take the next spot that opens. So the next spot is far away because we're up at the end and now coming back towards the door. We see a spot, pull in. And just as we're pulling in, a lady is coming to get into the car beside us from our church. And she goes, Steve, Sandra, I am so glad you're here. Can we talk? Well, I wasn't supposed to go shopping. Woohoo! This was all about being there to care for someone from our church that needed to talk. And the parking stuff, going up and down, we were set up. Did I know it at the time? No. Did Sandra forgive me for going up? Yes. God loves to do this kind of stuff. And most of the time, we don't know that it's happening because we have a manager that loves us, cares us, and is bigger than we are and can organize all sorts of things. And maybe I was going a little too fast on the highway to get to the mall, and we just had to slow up and go up and down the parking and all that kind of stuff. Maybe the lady was a little bit late coming out to her car. Anyways, we got there. Does that make sense? This is all the way through the Bible. So let's move on and talk about how Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. And just because of time, I'm going to skip this one here and talk about the three most common ways that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. And these are in your notes in your program this morning. So the first thing is Jesus only did what he saw. And if you remember in the Gospel of John, Jesus says this statement 7 times. And all the way through the Gospel of John, 7 is a number, an important number. 7 times Jesus said, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread. I am all those different things. I am the way, the truth, the life. 7 times. There are 7 sermons. There are 7 miracles. And there are 7 times that Jesus says, I can do nothing by myself. Remember those ones? So we're going to look at the 3 things that he says he can do. So here's the truth again. If you haven't figured this out, this is one of the big teachings that we have at our church, and it's not just our church, but you need to understand that Jesus had no unfair advantage over you and me when it came to him living on planet Earth. Every miracle that Jesus did, every great teaching that Jesus had, every time Jesus knew the hearts of people, knew the thoughts of people, every miracle that happened was because Jesus was functioning in his humanity, not his Superman powers. The Bible's very clear. Jesus said, I can do nothing by myself. Philippians 2 says that even though he is God, he voluntarily put all of his divine powers, Superman powers, off to the side for a period of time, and he chose to live like you and me. Yes? Why was Jesus baptized? Why did he have to be anointed? If you're God, you don't need extra anointing. Have you figured that one out? If you're God, forget about anointing. You already got it. Anointing is for human beings who need God's power. And Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. And then Jesus was able to do everything. So everything that Jesus did, you and I can do. In fact, Jesus had a prophetic word for you. Garth, this is your word. Stand up. Mary Audrey had a word. Garth, your word is you can do better than Jesus. That's it. Everyone stand up. Here's your word. You can do better than Jesus. That was from Jesus. That was his word, wasn't it? Greater things can you do. So what's Jesus talking about? Do you have to be God to do greater things? No. You just have to be led by the Holy Spirit. You have to be, like Jesus is, relying on the Holy Spirit. Jesus did one thing that you and I don't do well. he always obeyed. Oh, does it have to have that? Can't we just have the anointing when we need it and not when we're sort of in the flow? Well, the graciousness of God is that happens sometimes, doesn't it? The truth is that Steve Long many times is not prayed up when a God opportunity comes and the anointing's still there. Did I know when I was going shopping at Dixie Value Mall? Did I realize it afterwards? Yes. Back to our notes here. So in John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus says this, I tell you the truth, the Son can do, say it with me, nothing by himself. He can only do as he sees his Father doing. So all of the visual things that you and I have, dreams, visions, seeing words, there's a very famous story of John Wimber, who was the founder of the Vineyard denomination, of which this church started as a vineyard. He was on a 747 airplane going somewhere, and he's up in the first class bubble, and he's sitting in an aisle seat, and he at some point he just looks across and he sees a guy in the aisle, and there's a young lady beside him, and anyways, he sees this guy and he sees a name, and I can't remember what the name was, so let's just say the name is Brenda. He sees the name Brenda on his forehead. John Wimber leans over to the guy and says, who's Brenda? The guy goes, shh, back here. And he takes John Wimber to the bar area in the airplane and goes, how do you know about Brenda? And John goes, is the lady beside you your wife? Is she Brenda? She's not Brenda. That is my wife, but she's, how do you know about Brenda? And he goes, well, you're not going to believe this, but I'm a follower of Jesus, and God told me about Brenda. What do I need to know? Well, John Wimber led that man to Jesus right there on the airplane, and the guy went and got his wife, brought her back to John Wimber, confessed his sins of having a lady on the side, and she got saved on the airplane. It's a great story. My wife Sandra has occasionally sees words on people when she's ministering, and she'll see what the spiritual issue is that needs to be prayed for. And it's a great help, isn't it? Okay, that's what we're good. Cut right to the chase. One word, whatever that word is. And God does this. He communicates to us visions, dreams, all different visual ways. And this is how Jesus ministered. This passage that we had from John chapter 5, is the story where Jesus is in Jerusalem. And remember, there's the pools where the angels come and stir the water. There's seven pools there. If you go there to Jerusalem today, the pools aren't there, but you can see the lawn area. And the lawn area is very small. So it's maybe the size of this upper area here in a little bit more of a square. And the Bible says that the sick would go there. And particularly, there's one guy who is lame. And he's there. And the Bible says, as you read John chapter 5, that Jesus walked in. He looked around, he saw a man, he did some investigating, he was told, this guy is lame, he's been here a long time, da 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 da. Jesus went over to the man and says, do you want to get well? Which is a good question if a person is not close to the pool, not close to the edge, especially if you're lame. Because if you're lame, and this is the pool, you should be sitting right here if you're lame, so that when the waters ripple, you just toss it, you're in. You just fall in, right? But if this is the pool and you're lame and you're sitting over here, how are you going to get in? And that's what he says. Every time the waters ripple, there's no one to help me get in. And so it's a legitimate question that Jesus says, do you want to get well? Jesus heals the man, doesn't he? He tells the man, pick up your mat and go home. The only problem is it's a Saturday. It's a Saturday afternoon. The Sabbath regulations are still on. The Jewish Sabbath regulations included no working. They have a big list. If you go to your local library, actually, if you go to the website and look up Sabbath regulations, you'll see lists and lists of things, man-made lists, not God's list, man-made, including can't carry a mat, can't push a wheelbarrow, can't push a wheelchair more than 100 yards. And it's all these different kind of rules. If you go to Mount Sinai Hospital on a Saturday or on a Friday night, you'll find that every single elevator button automatically stops so that you don't have to push a button and cause work. Have you been there? How many been to Mount Sinai on a weekend? It's bad when you get in those elevators. It stops at every one. Not bad. But it's there for the Jewish regulations. This guy gets stopped by the temple police. They go, hey, hey, what are you carrying a mat for? I just got healed. And the guy who healed me said, pick up your mat and go home. So I'm blaming him. Who was it? Who healed you? You know what? I never did get a good look. That's what the Bible says. Jesus' face was hidden from the guy. And the temple police, because they're pretty smart guys, they figured out Jesus is around the corner. They went to Jesus, and they said, there are six really good days to do miracles on. Why do you always do them on a Saturday? Do you know what Jesus' answer is? I only do what my Father's showing me. That's when he gave this answer. I only do what my Father shows me. So what does that mean? A couple possibilities. As Jesus is walking into Jerusalem, as they get close there, maybe even as they're coming into the area where the pools are, all of a sudden a flash, a picture, one man, a crippled man. Could have been that he'd had a dream the night before or 2 weeks earlier. And he's going, oh yeah, I remember. I had that dream like 3 weeks ago. And there was this lame guy. And he walks in and he looks around, like it says. And he goes, there he is. And he asks him, tell me about that guy. Yeah, yeah, that's him. And so Jesus ministered to one man because he saw it. Yes? In a minute, we're going to pray for all of you who are seers and to bless you to know that it's God speaking to you. You're not crazy when you see things. Nudge your neighbor and say, you're not really crazy. Most of the time, you're right. Okay, let's keep going. Number two, Jesus only did what he heard. And so later on in this passage, they keep the temple police, the Pharisees, begin to badger Jesus and keep pushing him, like, what are you saying, and all this kind of stuff. And Jesus adds to it, and he says, by myself I can do. So with the anointing, he can do something, right? With the anointing, he can do everything. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. And so this is the other big one, is people just get thoughts, ideas come. There's an invasion into our head where we hear things. I told you this story before, but for those of you who haven't heard it, you can hear it now. For those of you who heard it, you can take a 30-second pause. The very first time I heard an audible voice, and I've only heard an audible voice twice, was before I'm a part of this church. I'm a good Baptist. I don't believe in things of the Holy Spirit, but my sister-in-law and brother, Richard, have just gotten, how would you say it? They have just become open to the things of the Spirit. And they're having David Ruiz come in and his wife Anita teach on the prophetic at their Baptist church, at Runnymede Baptist Church, downtown Toronto. And my sister has said to me, Steve, I think you're prophetic. You should come to a training day. And I'm going, I don't think so. But it was yard work or class, and it's like, I'll go to the class. So I'm sitting there, and it's right after lunch, and I'm sitting beside the pastor that I was working with. His name is John Friel. Some of you remember John. And John and I are sitting there, wooden benches, Runnymede Baptist, and they are praying for an African man who has just come to Canada to start an African church. And so David and Anita have him at the front, and they said, if you have a word for him, come to the front. People are coming to the front praying for the man. And the rest of us are just sitting, waiting for the next part of the meeting to begin. Right when that's happening, I hear the Holy Spirit say, tell John and Ann, who I was working with, John and Ann Friel, they're going to have a baby this time next year. I look at John, thinking he's heard it. I look around. No one's doing anything. And I realize I probably just heard God. The problem is that John and Ann have been trying for a number of years to have a baby and can't have a baby. They've even been to infertility clinics, and the doctors are saying, we don't know why, but you guys just can't have a baby. And so any conversation, anytime someone talks about a baby, it's very emotional for both of them, especially for Anne. And so I'm going, oh my goodness. I went back to talk to my sister-in-law, Terry, and said, Terry, I think God just spoke to me and said that John and Anne are going to have a baby by this time next year. And she says, you can't say that. That would be really hurtful. And I said, okay, I won't. She says, no, you have to, though. I wanted a second opinion. I came home, and I told Sandra. And she says, no, you can't. That would really hurt them. Can't say that. Okay, good. No, but you have to. It's like, so that's Saturday. I don't phone. I decide I'm going to talk to them face to face. And so we were in Hazel McCallion School at that time, our church in Mississauga. And at the end of the meeting, we packed up all the stuff like all of our other campuses do, put all the sound stuff away, put all the baby stuff away, all those kind of things. And we're just ready to head for lunch. And I take John and Ann aside and I say, guys, and I give a 5-minute disclaimer of why I could be wrong. It's never happened to me. I don't know about this. And if I'm sorry, I'm wrong. And if it hurts you, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. All that kind of stuff. Finally, John says, what is it? I said, well, remember when they were praying for the African pastor yesterday? I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me out loud, say, you're going to have a baby by this time next year. And immediately starts to cry. John looks at me very serious. What time was that? Well, it was a 2 o'clock session. We just had worship, so maybe like 2:45. He goes, at 2:45, my wife got a phone call yesterday from our doctor. We're pregnant. And I'm going, yes, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. I did not know it. That's only happened to me one other time, and that was about 2 months ago when Sandra and I and Jeremy and Connie and some of our, John and Carol, were praying whether to have the Bootsmas come back as our pastors or not. And the Bootsmas were open to it, but Sandra and I really wanted to hear a clear word from the Lord, have a dream, have a vision, something like that. And Sandra and I were walking out of our speaker's room over here on a Thursday night where our pastors have a cell meeting on Thursday nights. We're walking out. We had just finished praying about all the financial things for our church, like our roof, $500,000. Our phone system crashed about 2 months ago, like crash, can't use it anymore. So all of you who've been phoning in and trying to leave messages, no one can leave a message. Well, you can now, but you couldn't. And just, that's another 50,000. It was like just issue after issue after issue, all different things that were, and we're adding it all up. It was like $1 million of repairs to our building, long-term things. And we're praying about that. And as we're walking out, 8 o'clock, right by the stairs over there, I clearly hear the Holy Spirit say to me, invest in the anointing. And I took that to say, forget about money issues, forget about building things, invest in anointed people. And it was like, because we just were at the point of asking Jonathan Clark to come as our worship pastor, just needing to think about John and Patricia Bootsma, and it was like, okay. And I just said, guys, the Lord just spoke to me. Here's what he said. And they go, okay, we're in. God loves to speak to you. Not necessarily always out loud, but it's just, you know when God's spoken to you. Well, the third most common way that Jesus heard from his Father and was led by the Holy Spirit was his spirit knew something. His heart knew. He was taught. And he just knew that he knew that he knew. And the scriptures talk about this. Jesus says this in John 8. I can do what? I love this. This gives me great hope. If Jesus couldn't do anything apart from the anointing, well, I already know that. You already know that. But if the Holy Spirit's with me, if Daddy's telling me, oh my goodness, we got some great possibilities. John 8:28. I can do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. And so Jesus instinctively knew things. I hate this about my wife. That didn't come out right. I said it the wrong way. What frustrates me is that Sandra knows things without knowing things. And sometimes, like if we're planning a ministry trip, or I've given Sandra a veto over my life. So one of the things, if I'm thinking of doing a ministry trip, we're going here, we're going there, she's allowed to say no. And if she says no, it's no. I have the same privilege for her. So we're able to hear from each other because sometimes I'm emotionally involved. Sometimes it's me that would really like to go somewhere and maybe it's not the Holy Spirit. And to have a second opinion is a biblical thing. So husbands, let your wives be a veto. Ladies, let your husbands be a veto as well. If you're a single person here today, you need to have two or three best friends that you are not intimidated by and they're not intimidated by you to be able to just speak into your life. It's a very biblical thing by the voice of two and three witnesses the Bible talks about. But a whole bunch of times I'll say something and Sandra will go, no. What do you mean no? Well, no. It's like why? Why? I don't know. Like, come on, give me a reason. And she basically says, I don't know why, I just know. Ladies, how many of you are like that? It's very infuriating to kids growing up to have mothers like that, that they just know things. But this is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? This is one of the ways that God speaks to us, is our knower, our spirit, just knows something. God's communicated stuff to us. And I want to encourage you, you're not crazy. When you hear things, when you see things, when you know things, this is how the people of God in the scriptures lived. This is how Jesus lived. Yes? All of you, we're going to pray for all those three categories. You can stand up for one, two, or three of these. If you are a seer, you see things in the spirit, you get dreams, you get daydreams, you get visions. Can I get you to stand up? If you are standing, or sorry, if you're sitting by one of these people, why don't you just get up, put your hand on their shoulder. Actually, put your hand on their eye if you're close to them. If no one's come to you, just put your hand on your own eyes. Holy Spirit, would you come and bless us to see with more clarity, with more definition. Father, would you give us HD eyesight? That we just know that we know what you've said to us, how you've communicated to us, that you've just been leading us, you've been giving us promptings of where to be, what to do, what to say, all those different kind of things. You've been warning us, you've been protecting us, you have been guiding us, leading us, you've been doing all those wonderful things that you promised to do. And Father, we say that we're grateful that you are communicating to us. And for these men and women that are standing in this room, and for those of you at home right now, Father, every one of them, give them more. Give them more. Holy Spirit, would you come? Asking you, Father, that you would break off all the negative words of people who've discredited what you've seen. And when you've had family, friends, best friends, spouses, cell leaders, pastors, Steve Long, have looked at you and God, and intimated you're crazy. Father, we just wash off all those kind of words and we just say you're not crazy. You are a child of God that has been equipped to be led by the Spirit. And we bless that in you today. In Jesus' name. You may be seated, and all the hearers, stand up. If you hear voices, like good voices, if you're a hearer, can I get you to stand up? And again, you can stand up more than once if you're strong on a couple different things. Alrighty, if you are seated, can I get you to move around and just put your hand on someone's ear that's close by? Some of you need to look behind you because some of the people are behind you rather than in front of you. If no one's come to you, put your hand up. No one's come to you, just put your hand up. Church, look around. Find someone who has their hand up. There's a couple people over here. Great. Father, we bless our friends. We talked about HD. We ask, Father, that you would give these people Dolby sound. That is just real, real clear. Holy Spirit, come. Father, we're asking for ears to be opened, eyes to see. Jesus talked about that several times. Remember he said, some people have eyes but they don't see, some people have ears but they don't hear. And Father, we bless these people to be great hearers. Not just to hear, but to know, to have wisdom as to what it is that the Lord has just been speaking to you about. To know if you're supposed to pray, to know if you're supposed to talk to someone, to know if you're supposed to go somewhere. We bless you in that process. And church family, a whole bunch of us are at different times when we have to make big decisions. We just need to be aware that God communicates to us in different ways. And this could be one of the ways. And if you remember the story of Elijah, just keep praying for your friends here. If you remember the story of Elijah, there was all these distractions, earthquakes, fire, hurricanes. But it was a quiet little voice of God speaking to Elijah. And sometimes that little voice is easy to miss. So those of you with your friends, bless their ears, all the earwax, the spiritual earwax, to not be there so that they don't miss the quiet voice of the Lord. Just pray a prayer of cleansing for their ears right now. For those of you at home, I hope you're standing. And if no one's with you, just put your hand on your own ears. All the prayers that we're praying here, you just receive as well. We bless you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Garth and Mary, can I get you to come on up and get ready to tell your Mumbai story again? The Mumbai story. Okay, you may be seated. Number three, your spirit knows. You just know that you know that you know stuff. You have no reason why you know it, but you know stuff. Get you to stand up if that's you. And look around. This is predominantly ladies, but there's a good chunk of guys as well, so that's great. Hands up. Hands up if you're standing. Okay, church family, go and find one of these people that has their hand up. Someone, when someone comes to you, put your hand down. Church family, just move around, find someone. Some of you may need to pray for two people at once. And I don't know where your knower is, so maybe it's your heart, maybe it's your belly button, because that's where the presence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is in your innermost being. So Father, we bless these men and women that don't always have a reason for what you know, but you know something. And we say that this is God. I want to bless you that you are not crazy. You are being led by the Holy Spirit. God is giving you inside information. He's giving you understanding. He's helping you to know exactly what's going on. And friends, all of these abilities are not just for yourself, but these are for you to serve others. These are for you for ministry. These are for you for opportunities to expand the kingdom of God. Remember, the kingdom of God, Jesus said, is here now. Everything in heaven, a full knowledge, full eyesight, full revelation, full hearing. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, is coming to earth. It's with us. And this is how Jesus lived. People said, how can you do this? And they looked at Jesus and said, this man is the anointed one. He's the Messiah. And if you remember in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10, I think it is, the Christians were first called Christians. People of God were first called anointed ones. Not followers of Jesus. They were first called anointed ones. Little anointed ones. That's what the word Christian means in Antioch. What does that mean? The whole city began to realize it's not just Jesus that can live this way. Everybody who's a follower of Jesus can live this way. Father, bless these people. Now I'd like everyone to stand up now because we got another prayer. Here's the challenge. Here's the challenge, church. James says that we're not just to be hearers of the word of God, we are to be what? Doers. So the big issue is obedience. And that's where Jesus won every time. Jesus always obeyed the will of his Father, didn't he? Says it many, many times. Our challenge is that a lot of times we're going, oh, but I can't do that. Oh, but that person's too important. I don't know that person. And we talk ourselves out of it, don't we? We get intimidated by the second thought that comes, which is a deceptive thought, which is a stealing thought, and it's there to take away what the Holy Spirit's wanting to do. When you get a second thought that puts doubt as to your first thought, train yourself to know, I just had confirmation from Satan. Because if Satan says no, the answer is go. Yes? If Satan says, no, they're not going to be healed, the answer is, of course they're going to be healed. If Satan says, you're going to embarrass yourself, no, you're not. I have not, I do embarrass myself sometimes. I have not embarrassed Jesus, I don't think, ever. I have had so many times when I just begin a conversation with someone, talk to them, and all of a sudden you find out that God's in the middle. And even if I get it wrong and I say to someone, excuse me, do you have pain in your body? And they don't. Their normal response is, why would you have said that? Well, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm just trying to learn to be obedient to him as he talks to me. God talked to you about me? And they forget the fact that I got it wrong. Well, aren't you a nice, caring young man? Or old man, or depending on who I'm talking to. So, just before we hear about obedience, Garth and Mary, can I get you to tell the story? So, 3 years ago, we had 140 people from our church and World Changer partners around the world that were going to India, and we're going to have 10 different schools in 10 different cities, and Garth and Mary, you can sit down for a minute. This may take a minute. I saw a couple of people bailing out right away. It's like, so Garth and Mary signed up for that trip. And I think you got the first word and then you got the second word. Is that right?
So, but I'll get to, Garth, do you want to start for a minute or shall I go to that right away?
Tell me what your, why you were going to be leave early.
Sure. I'm going to turn this over to Mary, but to frame this, Steve was talking earlier about sometimes getting a no or a yes with no explanation. So that's really the theme here. But we'd been to India the year before. I don't think you were on that one, Steve. I think it was John Arnott and a bunch of others the year before in India. We were very enthusiastic about returning to India. So when we were asked to participate in one of the teams, we said, without praying about it too much, sure. But then what happened was a relative of ours said, I'm going to get married in England, and this is one of those ones that we have to attend. So we kind of went, because it encroached on our time in India. But we thought, well, you know what, maybe we'll go early, have some R&R to India, and then we'll go to the UK and participate in this wedding. So I'll turn it over to Mary.
And Kathy had a very creative solution. She said, oh, come anyway. It'll be great, you know. And you can leave early, and, you know, the time zone works for you because you'll be flying back to England, and it'll all work, and it's okay if you have to leave early. And we thought, well, this sounds great. And we had one hotel picked out that we were thinking of staying at because we'd visited it on the last trip. Everyone went into the lobby, and we did a tour of it and thought, you know, wouldn't that be fun? We'll just go for 2 or 3 days and then join the team because we were all being commissioned from Mumbai. Everybody was coming. So we thought, well, maybe we should pray, but Garth was actually ready to order the tickets right on the spot. And I remember going in the backyard and said, let's sit down and I think let's just pray about it and make sure we've really heard the Holy Spirit about this trip. I don't know whether I had a little sense at the time, nothing in particular, maybe that little sense of discomfort. It's good to pay attention to the Holy Spirit when that's happening. And so we bowed our heads, we just asked him a specific question, and I heard no immediately. And I kind of went, what? What do you mean no? And I already had us pictured. I could see us on the team. I could see, you know, what the Holy Spirit, I could almost see in advance what we'd be doing, and I was so excited. And so when I heard that no, it was like, are you sure? So I you know, opened my mouth and told Garth. What happened next, Garth?
Well, I actually had a similar impression. Can't say I heard an audible no, but I was really struggling with this because how many have ever prayed those prayers where you already know the answer, but kind of a perfunctory, okay, Lord, just confirm what we're doing sort of thing. So we were quite taken aback by this because we had essentially decided we were going to go, and now we're hearing no, but because it was so clear to both of us, and I think I even got a scripture. I can't remember what it was, but it just spoke to us. So we got back to Foster, whoever was organizing this thing, and we said, we don't know why, but we prayed about this. We don't think there's anything wrong with the trip. Please don't take this as a prophetic utterance to do with anybody else going on this, but we just can't go, and we don't know why. So I said, yeah, that's fine, that's fine. So then what happened was, a few weeks later, our niece calls us and says, guess what? I'm moving the wedding forward a couple of days. So we thought, oh,
that's
fantastic, right? I mean, God is so clever. I mean, that is so neat that, you know, he knew all along this was going to happen. And so that would have really messed things up. So we're very happy about that. So at that point, I guess I decided to go to Ghana. I'm involved in a business with George Ampensam, which happened to coincide with the exact time of this trip. Right? So we're committed. I'm going to Ghana. And then all of a sudden our niece phones us.
And she cancels the wedding altogether.
Cancels the wedding.
So we're really mystified. There's no information coming to us yet.
Right. So there's no information coming to us. And we're just kind of mystified. But, you know, we've already committed to go this other thing. So the upshot of it was, I was in Ghana. And Mary can tell you from her end, but George Ampensam, we'd been out working all day, and he came down to join me for dinner in the hotel in the evening, and he said, have you looked at the news? And I said, no. He says, it's on CNN. He says, you know, there's a big hotel in downtown Mumbai that's just been attacked by terrorists. What we didn't tell you was the Taj Mahal was the hotel we were going to stay at, and we would have been there at the precise time that the terrorists entered the hotel. That was the exact time that we were going to be staying at that hotel.
Yeah.
So praise be to God.
Isn't he amazing?
Right? He didn't give us a reason, right?
Yeah.
Very good. I love that kind of stuff. And friends, this is a little dramatic story, but your life can sometimes depend on hearing well, can't it? Let's stand up so that we can be obeyers. Because that was a big risk, wasn't it? Father, our lives may not, that kind of story that Garth and Mary had of, they could have been at the wrong hotel at the wrong time. They could have died. And yet, Father, you spoke to them months, was it months ahead, weeks ahead? Months ahead, and said, don't go on that trip. And Father, thank you that they obeyed. And Father, I thank you that we can obey every word, every thought, every impression that you give us. And Daddy, we welcome you to come and do that for us. Father, may you strengthen us in our innermost being that when the Lord speaks, we say, yes, Lord. Not no, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, help us that when you speak to us, that we're able to just follow through. And even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's awkward, even if it's something we've never done before, Father, may your anointing just kick in and we know that we are being led by your Spirit. We welcome you, Father, to do that. Now, just with your eyes closed here for a minute, if you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus, God does talk to you. You can still get dreams. You can still hear voices and have God speaking to you. You can still even feel things in your spirit because God's your creator and God wants to communicate to you. And one of the things that is right at the top of the list that God wants to communicate to you is that you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. A personal relationship with Jesus. Because when you have a personal relationship with Jesus, everything just gets much, much clearer. It's like that Dolby sound. It's like that HD. And if you're here in this room today and you're going, I do want a relationship with Jesus. I understand the big picture. I get it. Jesus died for me. I get that. My sins were taking me to hell. And I do need a Savior. I do need help. Because here's the truth, friends. This is a wisdom word all over the world. You keep doing what you're always doing, you're always going to get the same results. You need a change. And the most drastic change that we can do is to give our lives to Jesus and have Him become our life manager. And so if you're here this morning, how about church, everyone, let's say this prayer together. And if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, how about you say this prayer with us as well? Dear Jesus, I acknowledge my need of you. I have done many, many things that are opposed to God. And my eternity is hell. Except if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says I'll be saved. And I do believe that you died for me. You rose again for me. You paid my penalty so that I could go free. I believe that. And I welcome you into my life right here, right now. Now, if you prayed that prayer, like we all prayed that prayer, but if you prayed that prayer for the first time or you're reconnecting with Jesus, can I just get you to put your hand up real quick, like just up and down? Where are you, people? Yep, a couple people over here. Anyone on this side over here towards the nursery? Prayed that prayer for the first time? Anyone on this side over here that I missed? Great. You guys over here, do you mind coming up to the front? Sir, yeah, you put your hand up? Yeah, come bring your friend. Good, anyone else? Did I miss someone? If you brought a friend this morning, can you just turn to your friend and say, if you said that prayer, I'll come up to the front with you. Sir, we have a tradition in our church to bless people who've just done what you've done. Come on over here, girls. Come. Can I to get some of our cell leaders and others just to come on up and let's bless these people. Father, whether they're giving their life to you for the very first time or it's a reconnection with you, Father, we're asking that your Holy Spirit would go deep right now. Your Holy Spirit would come and just cause them to know that they know that they know that Jesus is alive and well, living on the inside of you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Spirit of God, come. Fill them right now. Give them more. Put eternity into their hearts. Put eternity into their hearts. Friends, this morning, we'll just let our team pray for them. There was a group of Koreans that came today that are pastors. Are they still here? Back at the end, back there. Can I get all the Korean pastors that came to come on up to the front? We'd like to pray for you today. Come, come, come. So I don't know if we have people that speak Korean. So, okay, we got a translator right here just in case they don't speak. So here's what I'd like. Cell leaders, ministry team people, if you'd like to pray for some Korean pastors today, they came in just at the end of the fire tunnel, so I don't know that they got it all that they needed to get. So if you'd like to pray for these pastors, just come and stand on the green line right here. Great. Who'd like to pray for Koreans? Come on up to the front. If you'd like to pray for these pastors. Good. Well, church, next Sunday, we're going to start a brand new sermon series. Most of our campuses are going to be doing this. And we're talking for 3 to 4 Sundays on the afterlife. So next Sunday, we're going to be talking about hell. Who goes, why they go. Who doesn't go, why they don't go. Then we're going to be talking about heaven. Then we're going to be talking about the word believe. What does the word believe mean? What do you need to believe in order to be with God forever? So we're going to be doing that little sermon series starting next week. And just a reminder that Stephen Harper is scheduled to be here June 26th. So that's going to be a great day. Our campuses are all going to be with us that day. I forgot to mention, in your bulletin, it says that there's a financial champions this Saturday. That has been postponed. This Friday night, we have Noel Richards, and this Friday night, we also have Mark Verkler teaching on hearing God's voice. It's a free seminar Friday night and Saturday. And so if you haven't gone to that seminar, you absolutely need to do that. Church family, thank you for coming this morning. God bless you. If you'd like to pray for any of the Korean pastors, come on up to the front and be good at obeying this week. Will you do that? Obey the word of the Lord this week. God bless you.